You won't tell anyone? Jenna asked hesitantly. Who would believe me? Anita laughed. Of course I won't tell anyone. And we're cool? She asked. Anita rolled her eyes. No, never. Both girls cracked up laughing as I frowned, but they hugged, so I could only assume it was some sort of inside joke. When? Where? Oh, that? Well, it sort of happened this weekend, Jenna confessed, blushing. But you are gone this weekend, Anita challenged. Matt cleared his throat, grinning. So is this guy. Where did you go? Anita asked. Home, I said, smiling. But you said you weren't introducing her to your family till spring break, Matt pointed out. Not San Marco. Our home. Could they come over sometime? Jenna asked. I gave her a look that caused her to snake her arm out and smack me in the stomach. I didn't bother dodging it. She never had to ask me for permission to invite someone over to our home. Her face told me she heard what I was thinking loud and clear. Where? Anita asked. We have a cabin only about 10 minutes off campus. It's gorgeous and amazing. I can't wait to show you. Jenna squealed with delight as she told Anita about it. You bought her a house? Matt asked, rolling his eyes. Dude, you are so whipped. You have no idea, I confessed. Damn, I hope Anita doesn't think I'm buying her a house, too.
Jenna. Chapter 18. I couldn't believe how well Anita was handling everything. It gave me unfounded hope that maybe things would work out after all. Still, I scolded myself every time my mind went there. Thinking like that would only lead to more heartache down the road. I knew without a doubt that Daddy would never accept my mate. Throughout the week, she even covered for me on a few occasions, so I could get some extra time in with Chase. Anita and I had always had a sort of friendship. With our sisters being best friends, we were constantly thrown together. I guess I had never really seen what a true friend she was to me until all this came out. Hey, Anita said as we were sitting in the cafe having tea between classes on Thursday. Some of the girls are heading out of town this weekend, some conference or something. I wasn't really listening. Are you going? I shook my head. I knew what she was talking about. Tessa had mentioned it to me, but I had just seen it as a weekend at the cabin with Chase that wouldn't be scrutinized. Did you already make plans? She asked. I shrugged. Not really any plans, just hanging out at the cabin this weekend. Why? What's up? Oh, nothing really. I just wanted to see if you and Chase wanted to do something with me and Matt. I mean, the girls know about me, but I figured with most of them away, we could go out and do something together. I think it would be fun. We could do that, but off campus. Too many eyes and way too many people know him for on campus. I sighed. And too many gossips around, I thought. Just in the few days since our bonding, word had spread that Chase Weston was off the market. Apparently he had gone to some social with his fraternity on Tuesday night, and a couple girls tried to come on to him. He had repelled them, explaining he wasn't interested, but they weren't taking no for an answer. One of them tugged on the collar of his shirt and exposed his neck and my bond mark. It had been the talk and shock of the entire school, but he hadn't once mentioned who his mate was, just confirmed he was mated and off the market. A part of me was grateful he had abided by my request to keep it to ourselves, but a part of me wanted nothing more than for him to claim me publicly and let every female in 100-mile radius know he was mine. It had been a tough week just being apart from him, but to have to listen to Chase Weston this or Chase Weston that or did you hear about Chase Weston? Everywhere I turned was grating on my last nerve. Our last Friday classes had been canceled. Calculus was a study session only class, which I didn't need thanks to Chase. Graphic design was an online assignment while Professor Stone was snorkeling in the Bahamas, and the photography instructor was currently on bed rest with complications due to pregnancy. I was ready to get away from the Ark, and thought for a minute about seeing if I could take the Jeep and head to the cabin a day early. Then I remembered Anita had a car, too. Hey, you're done with classes for the day, right? She nodded. Want to get out of here? I asked. Sure. What do you have in mind? I've just handled as much of this place as I can take this week. I'm ready to go home. Anita's eyes widened, trying to assess the situation as if on cue. A group of Thetas sat down in the booth behind me. Still no word on Chase Weston's mate? One of them said. No. We think maybe she doesn't go to the Ark. He was out of town all last weekend, said another. I just can't even believe it. He was always so much fun to play with, the third added as the others agreed. Anita got up. Come on, let's get out of here. As soon as we were out of earshot, she added, I don't know how you've put up with that all week. It hasn't been easy, I confessed. We walked the short distance to the lot where her car was parked. Once we were settled in and on our way, she cranked up the music and we jammed along with the radio. It felt carefree, and tension started rolling off me as we headed for the cabin. As we turned off the road and drove up the long driveway, something felt off. Anita looked over at me with concern, feeling the shift in my emotions. I couldn't quite put my finger on it, but my panther was suddenly very agitated. She parked the car, but I stopped her from turning off the ignition. I looked around. Nothing was obviously out of place, or at least, that's what I thought at first. On closer inspection, I noticed the front door was cracked open. I didn't hesitate. I picked up the phone and called Chase. Hey, beautiful. What's up? He said, and I could hear the smile in his voice. I think someone's in the cabin, Chase. The door is cracked open, barely, but it looks like it from the car at least. Everything here feels wrong. I don't know how to explain it, but it's creeping me out. You're at the cabin? He questioned. Yes. Anita and I wanted to get away for some girl time, so I thought I'd show her around. Do not get out of the car, Jenna. I need you to listen to your panther. If she's giving warning, there's a reason. He sounded calm, but there was an edge to his voice I didn't recognize. Help is on the way. Just stay in the car. Drive over to the mall or something if you need to. I'll be there soon to check it out. As soon as we hung up the phone, Anita asked, What's going on, Jenna? I don't know. Probably nothing. I've never been out here by myself, and I'm sure I'm just spooked, I confessed. So, this is the cabin? She asked. I nodded. Jenna, this place is huge. It's not a cabin, it's a really big house, and literally feels like we're in the middle of nowhere. How many acres came with it? 30-some. They were selling it with 3, I think, but Chase wanted the raw land surrounding it, too. It gives us a place to run if needed, without worry of being seen, like the forests surrounding the Ark. So cool. I swear you have the coolest boyfriend ever, she squealed. He bought you a house, Jenna. I was starting to relax, not seeing anything alarming. Her words rang true to my heart and made me happy. That feeling was short-lived, though, as the front door of my house opened and a man I didn't know walked out. He walked right up to the car and knocked on the window, motioning for me to roll it down. I only cracked it, not even enough for him to stick a hand through. Hey! Can I help you? You ladies lost or something? The stranger asked, and the tone of his voice and the way his sharp eyes washed over me caused goosebumps to break out over my skin, and not in a good way. No, Anita said. We're just waiting on a friend. I shot her a glance of warning. Here? The man asked, and I could see him shift uncomfortably from one foot to another and look back towards the cabin. I took in a deep breath, smelling the air around me. Shifter. I knew this guy was a shifter. That thought on a normal day would have provided at least a little comfort, but in that moment it only heightened my anxiety. My friends and I are meeting a buddy here, too. Why don't you ladies come on inside and wait where it's warmer? The stranger said with a gleam in his eyes. I glanced back to the front porch, and now saw 4 other large and equally strong men watching curiously. I shuddered, realizing we were dealing with a small pack of something. My panther told me they were dangerous. I needed to warn Chase. It's fine. We're good here. Chase should be here any time, Anita told him, and I wanted to punch her or duct tape her mouth shut. Chase called a few minutes ago and said he was running late, the guy added, not missing a beat. Come on inside. I'm sure he won't be long. It's okay, really, I assured him. We're fine here, and... I looked down, grabbing my backpack and pretending to look for something. Shoot! I left my calculus book back at the house. Do you think we could run back and grab it? I asked Anita, pouting. At least she finally seemed to catch on. Again? She asked dramatically as she rolled her eyes. So, what's your name? She asked the stranger. So much for her catching on. Stan, he said, only hesitating slightly. Anita strained to look at the men on the porch. Is that Jack? That seemed to really throw Stan off. He stuttered as he finally managed to get out a, yeah. Tiger, right? He's dating one of our sorority sisters, I think. He's a TA over at Archibald Reynolds, right? I vaguely remembered Tessa mentioning she was dating a tiger, a TA from one of her classes, which suddenly made me stop and rethink things. Could these guys really be that bad then? But what were they doing in my house? The man that must have been Jack walked over curiously. He stared down at me with obvious shock. Tessa? What the hell are you doing here? Jack asked. What the hell are you doing here? Jack turned red in the face and uncomfortably shifted from one foot to the next. I'm meeting a few friends here, that's all. Well, I'm meeting some friends here, I told him. Stan seemed to have wandered around the other side of the car towards Anita. Jack motioned for me to roll the window down as he squatted next to the car. Against my internal warnings, I did. Jack leaned in through the now open window and moved to kiss me on the lips. I turned my head at the last second so he got my cheek instead. I couldn't stomach the idea of any other man's lips on me. My panther roared in my head, but I fought back for full control. It disgusted us both, but he thought I was Tessa, and something told me that was a good thing. He appeared to nuzzle against my cheek as I clearly heard him whisper, "Babe, I don't know what you're doing here, but take your friend and get the hell away from here. I'll call you as soon as I can. You just have to trust me on this." I pulled back and stared into his eyes and nodded. I have to pick up my books. No sense in a study group without books. We'll be back in a few, I assured him. Come on, Anita. I plastered a smile on my face and waved at both him and Stan as I whispered hurriedly, "Go, go, goes," to Anita, who I was relieved to see obeyed as she put the car in drive and headed back the way we came. "What is going on?" she demanded. "I have no idea," I admitted. "I don't know who those guys are, but they're up to no good. I can feel it. And that Jack guy thought I was Tessa and warned me to get away from there. I need to call Chase back." I picked up the phone and dialed his number. He answered on the first ring. "Hey, any change?" Chase asked, sounding out of breath like he'd just been running. "Yes. There is a pack of at least 5 tigers camped out in the cabin. Tessa is dating one of them, and he thought I was her, and warned me to get Anita and get out of there. Something's not right with them, Chase. I don't know how to explain it. It's the way that guy named Stan was watching us. Like we were the tastiest steaks he'd ever seen." A loud growl erupted through the phone. "We're coming, Jenna. Get out of there, and I'll let you know when it's clear to return." "Okay, okay. Are you sure? Should I just call the police?" "No, sweetheart. This is something I need to handle." "Chase, please. No. There are 5 of them, at least. I don't want them to hurt you." I was fighting back hysterics as tears pricked my eyes. "Have a little faith in me, mate. I'm coming fully armed. By the time the sun rises, you'll never question your safety in our home again. I promise you that. Now go and wait for me. I love you."
"I love you, too."
Chase. Chapter 19. After Jenna's first call, I had made a few of my own. I met my brothers back at the fraternity house. Not one of them questioned me. They all just acted. I explained the layout and perimeter and that Jenna was really spooked by something that I needed backup to investigate. After Jenna's second call, I decided we needed to go in with fur. We had almost arrived before her final warning. Tigers. And they were trespassing on my territory. They were about to learn a lesson they wouldn't soon forget. But first I made a quick call to Kyle to explain the situation. He had enforcements arriving by helicopter, but they would be about an hour out. I already knew they would miss the action, but needed their help to secure my land. We parked the cars at the front entrance, 8 in all. If they had come by car, there was no way they were leaving by my driveway. All Delta Omega Gammas were there and ready. When you went after one of us, you got the whole pack. Never in my time at the Ark had the call of brothers been invoked for anything more than a meeting or party. I knew I'd have to tell them all about my mating to Jenna, but that was a small price to pay for the loyalty and support they each had already shown me without question. Okay, so word is there's a pack of at least 5 tigers camped out at my house, I told them as they gathered around. Your house? Brett asked. Yes, I bought a cabin. I'll explain all that later, but right now there is a pack of tigers that spooked my girl and copped a squad on my place. I don't have a good feeling about this, I explained. Your girl? Brett asked again. The rumors are true. Look, I promise to explain everything once my territory has been secured. This is happening with or without you guys. Are you in or not? I asked in frustration. I didn't want to tell them that I needed them to watch my back before I killed someone, because both my wolf and I were pissed. Jenna should never, under any circumstances, be afraid in our territory, and I had heard the fear in her voice through the phone. Damon stepped in. Calm down, Chase. We're here. We are Delta Omega Gamma. We are brothers, and we have your back no matter what. Heads all around started to nod, and a little of my tension eased. Thank you, my brothers. Next, I gave them information on the layout of the house and the surrounding land. Let me take the lead, Chase, Chad requested. To say I was shocked would have been an understatement. People always underestimate the little guys. I can get on the porch undetected. If they open the door, I could get inside and wreak havoc in record time. Even get them all out of the house for you guys to surround. Let me help. Let me do this. I didn't need to be asked twice. I nodded. If you're sure, man, we'll take your lead on that and wait for them to exit the cabin. Chad grinned, and there was an unsettling hint of mischief and evil there. No one does wild squirrel better than me. The rest of us divided into small groups. Everyone began to strip and leave their clothes by the vehicles before shifting into their respective animals. All but Matt and Chad were some form of canine. Matt's jaguar was impressively bigger than several of our brothers. And then there was Chad. I had never seen Chad in his animal form, but even knowing he was a squirrel shifter could never have prepared me for the sight before me. Chad was the fattest squirrel I had ever seen. The kid was chubby in human form, but I didn't even know how he could stand on his tiny squirrel feet because he was so fat, let alone fight. Even more shocking was when he turned and nodded my way before taking off so fast I had trouble tracking him when he hit the trees. How in the hell did that roly-poly creature move so quickly? Brett, already in his coyote form, started to laugh. He sounded and looked more like a hyena, but soon others were laughing too. Shaking our heads, we started to part. 2 groups were heading to the back of the house in case the tigers came out that way, while 2 more groups were setting up on either side of the front of the house. Basically, we had groups spread out around all 4 corners and ready to close in. I was at the front and to the right, closest to the front door. I watched as Chad jumped up onto the front porch. He scurried around and scratched at the front door just enough to get the tiger's attention. It seemed like an eternity, but finally the door cracked open and a head peeked out. I didn't recognize the man, but he was big. Easily 6'2" and I'd guess pushing 250. 5 of them that size and I'd have been on the losing end by myself. But there were 38 of us now, and we'd easily take them down. It's just a squirrel. A fat, lazy squirrel looking for food, the man yelled back into the house. Hi there. Shouldn't you be hibernating, little fella? The big guy spoke to Chad like he was a small child. The next thing I saw was when Chad leaped into the air and wrapped his fat arms and legs around the dude's face. He screamed, and Chad jumped off of him, flying in the air and through the open front door. There was lots of banging and squealing, and soon four more men came running out the front door. It wasn't even 2 minutes later that Chad, back in his chubby human form and entirely naked, waved from around the side of the house. No one else was inside. He signaled the others at the back to close in. 5 large canines and 1 fierce-looking jaguar came walking in a line of battle. 5 more rounded the corner on the far side when the tigers finally noticed. They started to rush back into the house, but Chad, in all his naked glory, stood on the front porch with a baseball bat in hand. The sight was so comical, it was downright scary. "I really wouldn't if I were you," he warned. But 2 of the men turned and took off at a full sprint heading for the driveway. I howled and the rest of my brothers moved in to surround them. The 2 who made a run for it didn't get very far before rejoining their brothers. 4 of the guys shifted to tiger form, shredding their clothes in the process. The 5th put his hands up in surrender and backed up to the porch. "I'm tired of their games. I don't want any part of this," the man said, sitting down on the porch steps. "So why are you guys even here?" Chad asked him. "This place had been abandoned for a long time. I've settled into the area here, but the others are just passing through. They use this place to crash whenever they're in town. I told them something smelled different this time." "So why are you guys here? And what the hell is a squirrel doing with this pack of mutts?" Chad laughed. "Can't you see the resemblance? These are my brothers." The man shook his head in annoyance. "I'm serious," Chad continued. "My fraternity brothers. We all go to the Ark. Chase just bought this place last week, and you and your buddies apparently upset his girl. Wolves are pretty territorial, and he's really pissed off." "I teach over at the Ark. My girl showed up here with a friend earlier. I told them to get out of here. These guys, well, they tend to find trouble. We've done a lot of terrible things over the years. Some really bad, I won't lie. Then we were incarcerated for years, and..." He shook his head as a shudder racked his body. "I don't want to talk about it, but I'm never going back there again. My brothers, they just don't seem to have learned anything and are running wilder than ever. I don't know what to do about it," he confessed. "Which one is your friend who owns this place?" "Big, black, scary wolf taking the lead." Chad pointed to me, and I briefly shot him a look. Having to stand there and listen to the 2 of them prattle on was not helping the situation. I stared down the biggest of the tigers as they all walked in circles within the perimeter we held. I could see from their movements they were used to fighting together. They were trying to intimidate us, but it wasn't going to work. I tried to calculate the time. Kyle was coming with even more reinforcements, and judging by what I'd just heard from Chad's conversation with the tiger that surrendered, we needed to not only get them off my property, but contain them. For the first time in my life, I wished there was a jail for shifters. Sending them to a regular prison seemed like the cruelest punishment possible, as they'd never be able to shift while there. That alone could drive a sane shifter crazy, and I suspected these tigers weren't entirely on the sane side. I had thought I was overreacting by calling in all my favors to run off a couple tigers squatting in what had been a mostly abandoned cabin in the woods until a week ago. My agitated wolf and my heightened temper, knowing how scared they had made Jenna, led to this. I hadn't thought they were going to fight back. I simply wanted to intimidate them off my land and ensure they wouldn't consider returning. I had been wrong. These guys were looking for a fight. The gleam in the eye of the biggest one told me he would enjoy it too. He lunged in my direction, but I held his gaze and didn't budge. He tested a few others, and to my relief, none of my brothers backed down, though a few began to snarl. When they moved towards Matt, his jaguar roared, causing one of the tigers to back up. It was their first sign of weakness. I could work with that. Studying them more closely, I noticed that the 2 milder ones kept looking back to the man on the steps. I still wasn't sure if he was setting a trap I'd regret or genuinely wanted no part of it. I only hoped that if it came down to it, Chad would keep him occupied long enough for us to snare him within our circle and not take an attack from behind. In the blink of an eye, everything changed. The lead tiger lunged my way, but this time he didn't stop. He went straight for my throat. But I was too quick for him as I rolled us both sideways until I was on top with the advantage. It was clear he did not like being pinned on his back. The circle tightened, and despite protests and attempts, my brothers would not let the remaining three pass and assist. I snapped my teeth and snarled. Then I growled in warning when the tiger tried to squirm from under my hold. I didn't want to hurt the guy, but neither would I back down if he persisted. We were in another standoff. I felt him loosen his grip and relax beneath me. I knew it was a trick and pretended to let up some, too. The second I did, he pushed back full force, as I had expected. He was stronger than I estimated and managed to get to his feet. We circled each other. He roared, but all it did was piss off my wolf even more. I had to fight to maintain control and not fully give in to my wolf. If I did, I knew I would kill this tiger. I growled back and watched the fur on his neck stand up. He made his move to attack, and I sidestepped him. He shifted direction and knocked me to the ground, but I was back on my feet before he could advance further. He tried to come in low, but despite the incredible size of my wolf, his tiger was much larger, giving him no advantage there. He tried to go high and come at me from above, but that was easy to roll away from. Steadily and slowly, I moved us towards the house, cornering him at the porch and protruding bay window. He spit and snarled when he realized what I had been doing, and then he made his first direct attack. I barked for the others to hold back, leaving him to me, even as his large paw swiped at my hind leg and made contact that caused me to howl out in pain. The fight was on. I bit out, catching his front right arm as he moved to strike again. He snarled, pulling back. That gave me time to steady my feet. My leg was throbbing, but I pushed aside the pain and instead channeled it towards the tiger. He was injured from my bite, so I went for his left side. I missed his arm but landed a chunk out of his side. He growled and hissed back. Still cornered, he had nowhere to go. The fear in his eyes was evident, and my wolf had tasted blood. I gave a menacing growl that had him backing up even further against the house. That's when I noticed the commotion around us had stopped. "Stan, just give it up, man. We'll find a new place to hang," said one of the three tigers my brothers had trapped, who was now standing naked, still surrounded but surrendered. The tiger I was fighting roared in anger. He was alone, trapped, injured, and scared. I took a step back to give him a little space. He seemed to be more subdued, but I didn't know how much of it was for show. The standoff finally ended when his body shook and he shifted back to human form. My leg was injured pretty badly, so I didn't want to shift back yet, as we heal faster in animal form. "Who the hell are you?" he spat out, obviously still in anger. So much happened all at once in that moment. Whirring sounds from above indicated helicopters arriving, which were Kyle's reinforcements. And lastly, out of nowhere, a beautiful panther appeared. Of course, I knew instantly it was Jenna. Her violet eyes gave her away. But more than that, I'd know my mate in any form. Seeing me injured didn't sit well with her. She roared and hissed at Stan, positioning herself between us to protect me. She was the scariest beast I'd ever seen, and even Stan cowered in response. Boots on the ground came running. "Stan," I heard a stranger's voice say from behind me, and I watched the large man fold in fear.
"No, please, no, don't let them take me," he begged.
"I think it's time you and I had a little visit," Jacob Winthrop said. I had never met the man before in person, but I had spoken to him briefly on the phone over the holiday break when he'd called the house looking for Maddie, Liam's mate. The man had a very distinctive voice, one you didn't forget. "Jace," another voice boomed from behind me. I turned around quickly, putting my back to the tiger for the first time. I knew that voice. It was Kyle, and I was safe. Even still, I felt Jenna guarding me from behind as she continued low hisses at the man. My fraternity brothers were mostly scattered now. I saw several walking back towards the cars, some in their skin and some still in their fur, no doubt going to get their clothes. I stared at Kyle and motioned my head towards the house. "Go on. We've got this," he told me. I turned back to Jenna and nuzzled the side of her face. She stopped hissing and looked at me. I nodded my head towards the door. She reluctantly followed. Chad opened the door for us, and we walked in and headed to our bedroom before shifting back to human form. Most shifters were perfectly comfortable with nudity, but I had absolutely no desire to show off my mate in that way to all my brothers, both of blood and fraternity. "You really did bring in the full cavalry, huh?" she teased as she opened a drawer and took out an outfit we had bought the previous weekend to leave there. She grabbed some clothes from my drawers, too, and tossed them on the bed. "I thought I told you to stay away until I gave the all clear," I scolded. "I tried. I just couldn't sit there and do nothing and think about what may or may not be happening. I was envisioning the worst. And from what I walked in on, I'd say it wasn't too far off. What if something had happened to you? What if you'd been hurt? I would never have forgiven myself." I hadn't thought about it from her perspective. I just needed to know she was safe. I took a step towards her and grimaced as pain shot up through my leg. I looked down. The wound had already closed and looked like it was days old, but it was still red and very sore. "You're hurt?" she questioned, rounding the bed quickly to examine my injury. "Jenna, it's fine, really. Another few hours in wolf form and it would be entirely gone." As she looked around the cabin, I could tell she was questioning more than just my injury. "Princess, don't overthink this. I know I overreacted. I just couldn't stand the thought of anyone scaring you in our home. This is our territory, and I had to defend it. I didn't really expect them to fight back. I'm glad now I did overreact. That big one, Stan, he knows Jacob Winthrop. He was terrified of him, Jenna." I noticed. "Who's Jacob Winthrop?" she asked. "I don't really know, aside from that he and his wife took Maddie in when she ran away. That's Liam's mate, wife, whatever. I remembered Maddie as Lily's friend growing up. She's from a different pack, so I never saw her all that often. They're 4 years older than me, so I never really hung out with them. I got to know her and her son over Christmas break. Not all of her story made sense. Like, I know Jacob was basically her adopted father and they were close. But Jenna, he's human. I'm certain of it. So how does he know Stan? It doesn't make sense." "He came here with your brothers. I saw him get off the helicopter with the one you called Kyle, Chase. I'm assuming that's your brother, at least. You guys sort of look alike." I smiled and nodded. "Yeah, Kyle's the alpha of our pack now. He'd definitely have his reasons for bringing Jacob Winthrop with him. Right now, I don't much care, as long as you're okay." She closed the gap between us and wrapped her arms around my waist. "I'm okay, as long as you're okay."
Jenna, Chapter 20. I regretted leaving the property almost immediately. Anita had refused to take me back and instead drove to campus despite my protests. I sulked for only a few minutes before heading back out and walking to the far side of the campus where the woods began. I had faith that once I'd shifted, my panther would know exactly how to find our mate. I had been right. We kept mostly to the trees where we could, or silently racing across open spaces when certain the coast was clear. It hadn't taken nearly as long as I thought it would to get back to the cabin. I was shocked at the sight I saw there, so many shifters all in one place. They were in their fur and a group of canines were surrounding three large tigers. Jack was sitting on the front porch, casually watching and chatting with a very naked Chad. Scanning the area, I recognized Matt's jaguar mixed in with the canines. There were several solid black wolves, but I couldn't determine exactly which one was Chase.
Then I heard a howl that caused my stomach to drop. I knew it was my mate. There was no question about it. I raced across the field, and as I rounded the side of the house, I saw him. The large man who had scared me earlier was now cowered in the corner. Another man stood over him, and Chase was limping as he guarded this new stranger. Anger I didn't know I was capable of surfaced. I hissed at the naked man and bared my fangs at him. When Chase turned his back to the man, I kept my eyes glued on him. It felt right, guarding my mate. It made me feel powerful with Chase by my side, just like it felt right to be enveloped in his strong arms now. I knew there was no place I'd ever feel that safe. I squeezed him closer, trying to reassure myself and my panther that he truly was okay. The smell of desire filled the room, and I laughed, smacking his backside. He was definitely okay. Chase, there are dozens of men outside waiting for you. Don't even think about it. What? He said, pulling back and looking down at me with an innocent grin. Honestly, I can't help it. Their smell is in our house. They invaded our territory. I have this all-consuming need to mark every inch of this place, starting with you, my beautiful mate. A knock at the door made him tear his gaze away from my eyes. I wasn't sure how much longer I could have handled his scorching look of desire before acting on it. So in a way, I was grateful to whomever interrupted. But on the other hand, I was quite simply irritated by it. "Come in," Chase said. The door opened.
"Jesus, Chase. Can you at least try to control it?"
Kyle said, referring to the scent my mate was filling the room with. "No," he said seriously.
"I really can't, Kyle."
Kyle just laughed at his discomfort.
"Well, you have quite a mess out there. I think we've got it all sorted, but need you to confirm a few things and let me know what you want my guys to do."
"Yeah, okay," Chase said, looking reluctant to leave me.
"You must be Jenna,"
Kyle said, extending his hand to me. I hesitated only a second before loosening my grip on Chase and meeting him halfway. "I am. You're Kyle, right?"
"That would be correct."
He studied me for a moment.
"You have a protective nature that's not always common with panthers."
He stated this as a fact, not a question.
"I noticed it immediately in the way you protected Chase from Stan, even when he was no longer a threat and Chase had his back to the guy.
Just because he was in human form didn't alleviate the threat."
"You'd be correct, though I fear he posed more of a threat to you than your mate."
I blushed, taken aback by how easily he called Chase my mate. A noise just outside our bedroom door kept me from dwelling too much on it. The door burst open as Liam walked in carrying a woman I didn't know.
"Take it down a notch, dude. I need somewhere to lay Maddie down. Can I use your bed?"
Liam asked. Chase nodded. I could see he was still battling a territorial thing.
"Hey, Jenna," Liam said. "This is my mate, Maddie. Do you think you can do me a favor and stay with her for a few minutes while we sort something out?"
"Sure," I said. "What's wrong with her?"
"Panic attack? Sweetheart, I need you to just keep breathing. This is Jenna, Chase's mate. She's going to stay with you. Just listen to her voice and breathe. In and out."
He encouraged me to continue chanting with him. "In and out," I said. He nodded and left her side.
"It's them, Kyle. And if we don't get them out of here now, all hell is going to break loose. I will kill them for what they did to her. Do you understand me?"
I shuddered at the lethal threat. There was no doubt in my mind that he meant it.
"Shit," Chase said. "Are you telling me that one of those guys out there is Oscar's father?" "Yes,"
Liam said through gritted teeth as the brothers left the room in a hurry. I was suddenly alone with Maddie. "Keep breathing, Maddie. In and out, just like Liam said." She was gasping for air now, but starting to calm down. "I'm sorry," she managed to get out. "Whatever this is, you have nothing to apologize for. I'm certain of that. Those guys creeped me out pretty good earlier, too," I said, holding her hand and stroking her arm in what I hoped was a soothing manner. She growled, but not in a way that made me jump back.
Did they hurt you?
She asked, no longer struggling for control.
No, just spooked me a little. They apparently were using the cabin and something about them just creeped me out. They acted like they knew Chase, but I didn't believe it.
Jack, one of the tigers, he warned me to get away, so I did. My friend Anita was with me, and we went back to our sorority house, and I called Chase to explain what was happening on the way. He said he'd take care of it, which he obviously did.
I just couldn't wait around without knowing he was okay and came back anyway.
She nodded, calming down some.
I'm glad you did that. I don't know why one of them would have warned you, but I'm glad you listened. It's Jenna, right? You're Chase's girl?
I blushed again and nodded. Anita and Matt were the only ones I'd ever said anything to. So having my mating as basic, everyday conversation was completely foreign to me. She studied me for a bit, and when she seemed satisfied with what she saw there, she started talking again.
Those Westons, they love fiercely and with all their hearts. Once you're family, period. No questions asked. I know that Mary, Chase's mom, worries things will be difficult for the two of you. Don't let that discourage you. She worries about everything for everyone.
Weston Pack opened their arms to me and my son, Oscar. He's different, too. Half wolf, half, tiger. One of those striped beasts out there is his biological sperm donor. I thought I had seen them once before a few months ago. Prior to that, I had only seen them the one time, the, night my Oscar was conceived. They left me for dead when they were done with me.
I gasped, and tears stung my eyes at what she was telling me and the things she wasn't telling me.
Shh, it's okay. It was a long time ago. I still get, anxious sometimes. I'm sorry you had to see that. It was just a shock. I'm only telling you this because I think it's important for you to understand. If they can overlook my past and accept my son as part of the pack, they'll accept you, too, with open arms. That's just how the Westons are.
I cried openly as she voiced my biggest hopes and constant fears.
You know I'm not a wolf, right? She smiled.
I know. And if there were any doubts in anyone's mind that you and Chase belong together, you put it to rest today. I've never seen any animal look as fierce as you did protecting that boy out there. He's lucky to have you.
We hugged, sharing a new unspoken bond. Chase had told me his pack would accept me, but I'd never allowed myself to even hope for that. It was just too much to ask for. But here, this complete stranger was telling me her darkest secrets and sharing this message of hope. Hope that maybe Chase and I really could have a normal, happy life together, to share with family and friends. The door opened and Liam walked back in.
Sweetheart, how are you feeling?
He asked her. The love and concern in his voice was evident.
They're gone now. Well, all but one. His name is Jack, and even Jacob swears he's not like the others.
Was he the one sitting on the steps? I asked. I didn't mean to interrupt them. I was just curious.
Yes, that's the one. Do you know him?
Liam asked. Not exactly, I said honestly. I'm going to check on Chase and give you two some privacy, if that's okay. Liam nodded. With my hand still on the doorknob, Liam spoke again.
Thanks for looking after my girl, Jenna.
I smiled back at him. You don't need to thank me for that, Liam.
Yeah, I do. I really appreciate it.
I nodded and started to leave the room.
Hey, one more thing?
I stopped and looked back at where Liam sat on the edge of my bed, caring for his precious mate.
Welcome to the family.
Tears threatened to fall once again as I smiled in thanks and left, unable to speak past the lump in my throat. I headed for the front porch, finding the rest of the cabin still empty. As I walked out, I saw Jack standing there talking to Chase and a few other men. He pulled away from the group and headed right for me. In my peripheral vision, I could see Chase start to move in defense, but he backed up in shock as Jack threw his arms around me.
"What the hell are you doing here, babe? I thought I told you to leave and not come back," Jack said.
He was worried about me. No, he was worried about Tessa. I knew in that moment that Jack truly did care for my sister. A loud growl from behind him caused goosebumps to break out across my skin.
"Get away from my mate,"
Chase said through gritted teeth. There were a few nearby gasps, and people started whispering all around us. I gave Jack an apologetic smile.
"Tessa, what the hell is going on here?"
Jack asked. I'm not Tessa, Jack. I'm Jenna. Tessa's my twin sister. My identical twin sister, I clarified.
What?
He asked, taking a step back to look at me like I had just sprouted horns. Chase was quickly by my side. When I reached out for him, I felt his body start to relax at my touch. It was a heady feeling, knowing I had that much power over him.
Chase, I know you've been acting weird all semester, but you really took a mate? She's not even a wolf. Hell, she's not even canine,
Brett pointed out.
So?
Chase responded, like he had just been asked the dumbest thing in the world.
Okay, so Chase took a mate. It's not like we all didn't suspect it. You can pay up when we're back at the house,
Damon said. Pay up? I asked.
There's been a pool going for 3 weeks on the topic. We all saw the signs, though no one could figure out whom. It really does make sense now,
Neil added.
What makes sense about a wolf and a panther?
Brett asked, and then covered himself when arms started flying over to smack him.
Jenna's cool. It's all good. I can see it,
Damon said. You can? I asked in wonder.
Yeah. He's been sniffing around you for the last few months. You're a great gaming partner and a nerd. Like, Weston needs that in his life. I just can't believe you've kept it quiet. Why?
Damon asked, and others seemed to acknowledge their interest in that answer, too.
Look, we have to keep it quiet for now. Our family isn't going to deal well with having a wolf join the family,
Chase said, trying to keep things light. My father will disown me and forbid me from seeing or talking to my sisters. I know the consequences, and still chose Chase despite it all. He's worth it, I said, grinning at my mate to a chorus of obnoxious aws from his fraternity brothers. But if you guys could please just keep this to yourselves a little longer, I'd really like to get through this semester with my sisters. It was the sad truth of the situation. They all nodded.
I'm invoking DOG code on this,
Damon said.
Chase Weston taking a mate or even seeing Jenna Lockhart is Delta Omega Gamma classified, effective immediately. Am I clear?
Yes, sir,
they all said in unison, followed by a chanting of Delta Omega Gamma, over and over as they jumped around, hooting and hollering. Chase grabbed me by my waist and jerked me to him. My eyes were wide when his mouth captured mine to the roar of cheers around us. He pulled back and grinned before looking to the sky and howling. His brothers echoed him.
Okay, okay. Now that that's settled, we need to decide what to do about Jack,
Kyle said seriously.
Take him inside and I'll be there in a minute,
Chase told Kyle before turning back to his fraternity brothers. A group of men passed by as they escorted Jack inside. The man Chase had said was Jacob Winthrop followed, and I shivered. I wondered where the other tiger shifters were, but I didn't dare ask. Chase walked down off the porch and I followed him. He wrapped one arm around me and pulled me close to his side. I really don't know what to say. Thank you.
You guys have gone above and beyond our brotherhood today, and I appreciate it more than words can say.
He looked down at me and smiled warmly. We both do.
I have a question,
Chad asked, raising his hand to the snickers of the others.
Where are we?
Yeah, I've never heard of this place before,
Neil added. I couldn't help but smile, genuinely smile. We were home. Despite everything that happened today, it was still our home, and I had no doubt in my mind that Chase would do everything in his power to ensure that nothing like this ever happened again.
If everything wasn't still up in the air with my brothers here and all, I'd invite you in. This is our home. Jenna and I bought it last week, as well as the 30 wooded acres surrounding the house. You guys are welcome to come out for a run any time,
he told them.
And we'll be happy to host a game night soon for any of you who enjoy getting your butt kicked by a girl, I added. Smack talk ensued, but in the end, they each in turn hugged me and assured me that a challenge was coming soon. It felt good to talk and joke with the guys. They were important to Chase, and the time I had spent over at the doghouse had been good. They were fun, easygoing, and accepting, even before they saw me as Chase's mate, and not just his friend. In some ways, I felt more accepted by Chase's friends than I ever had with my own actual blood. Chase tossed his keys to Matt as we said goodbye to the others.
I'll swing by with Anita tomorrow afternoon and drop it back off. Call if you need anything in the meantime.
Thanks, Matt, Chase said. We headed back inside, hand in hand. The living area was set up much like a courtroom, with Jack sitting on one of my kitchen chairs in the center while being grilled by the others. I quickly noticed Maddie and Liam were not present and could only assume they were still in the bedroom. Patrick was talking. I hadn't noticed him amidst the others before. His Irish accent gave him away even before my eyes found him.
Jack, why are we to believe you've changed, that you're any different from your brothers?
Patrick asked.
Look, I've kept my nose clean since the escape. I have a job working at the college. I haven't caused any trouble, Jacob. You know me. Tell them I'm not like my brothers. Tessa's sister can confirm it, too.
Looking at me, he added, sorry, I don't remember your name.
Jenna, I said.
Right. Jenna can tell you.
Actually, I can't. I'm sorry. Tessa's mentioned you a little, but not much. We don't exactly share things like that. His eyes were pleading me for help, and something in their vulnerability made me want to reach out and help him. I can tell you all. He warned me to get away from here today. He tried to help.
And when it came down to a fight, he walked away and refused to join his brothers against us,
Chase added.
He's never been a problem. Being the youngest, he was prone to follow his brothers, but given an option, he always chose opposite them. Without their influence, I'm confident he won't be a problem,
Jacob told the group. Liam walked in, and right up to Jack.
I need to know if you raped my mate. I know you were there. I need to know if you participated in it.
I shivered at the menace in his voice. There was no doubt in my mind that Liam Weston could kill Jack with his bare hands. I had never seen anyone so pissed.
I'm sorry, man. I don't know who your mate is,
Jack said, his voice quivering with nerves. I am, Maddie said as she walked into the room. She didn't need to continue, because the second Jack saw her face, he turned white as a ghost and cowered. I'm Madeline Collier. You and your brothers brutally raped me and left me to die in a dumpster 8.5 years ago. We met at a concert. You all lured me upstairs to a private box seat room and drugged me. I couldn't move, but I was aware of it all.
All of it,
she said. There was a deadly silence throughout the room. Jack started to cry. I'm not sure Maddie was prepared for that as she took a step back and leaned into Liam for support. All eyes were on Jack.
I'm so sorry. I'm so very sorry. If I could take it all back, I would. What we did to you was unspeakable. I was only 15 years old at the time. I may have looked older. That's normal for a tiger, but I was just a kid. I had to prove myself to my brothers. They terrorized me about it. Said they had the perfect girl for me to lose my virginity to. I didn't know what they had planned. They got me just as drunk before it happened. I didn't want to do it, but they made me. When it was over, I ran to the corner and threw up. What they did to you afterwards has left me with nightmares. I've never been with another woman since, not even Tessa. And she's the only girlfriend I've ever had, and I can't even bring myself to really kiss her,
he confessed. It was heartbreaking to hear his story and realize he had been almost as much a victim of his brothers as Maddie had been. Maddie stared at him. Why didn't you stop them?
I couldn't. I wasn't strong enough to stand up to all of them. You can't possibly understand, he told her.
Maddie started crying, and Liam wrapped his arms around his mate,
The tension was evident in his shoulders.
I believe him, Maddie finally said. I don't think he's a threat to society without his brothers. I do have one request before you let him go, she told the group before turning back to Jack. I need a vial of your blood.
What?
He asked, surprised.
Why?
It doesn't matter why, she said. A vial of your blood for your freedom today. He looked around at the others to see if she was serious. They all nodded in agreement. He held out his arm, accepting her terms without further question. Jacob picked up his bag and dug out the necessary medical supplies. After he drew a small vial of blood, he slapped a Band-Aid on his arm and told him he was free to go.
I feel like this is some sort of trap, Jack said.
It's not, Liam told him. My mate has given you your life back. It's more than you did for her 8 years ago. It's more than you deserve as far as I'm concerned, but I will support her decision and will not track you. I do warn you, though. Continue living a clean life and do not make me regret this. You will not be given another chance should our paths ever cross again negatively.
Chase pulled me closer to him and wrapped his arms around me when my entire body shuddered. I spoke up as he moved to leave. Do me a favor, Jack. Don't tell Tessa what happened today. I need to tell her in my own way. Jack looked back and forth between me and Chase, as if realizing what I was saying, and he nodded. Jacob and another man I hadn't been introduced to said their goodbyes and left behind Jack. Is he safe with them following him? I asked when the door closed behind them.
They won't follow him, Kyle spoke. They will address the other four, though.
I hate the thought of sending even them back there, Maddie said, suddenly looking and sounding exhausted.
Back where?
Chase asked.
You don't want to know,
Kyle assured him, imploring Chase not to question things further. So Chase shut his mouth and didn't ask any more questions.
Chase, Chapter 21. Looking around the room, I noticed only my family remained. Having all those strangers off my land helped me finally begin to relax. I turned and hugged Jenna. How are you holding up? I asked. I'm fine, she told me. I looked her over as she squirmed under my scrutiny and a light blush stained her cheeks. Satisfied she was okay, I nodded. You've met everyone, right? I asked. Yeah. Hi, she said awkwardly. I'm genuinely sorry we had to meet under such circumstances. We've all been looking forward to your visit over spring break. But regardless, it's nice to finally put a face with a name. I'm not sure how much you know about pack life and hierarchy, but I am Alpha of Weston Pack. The other men groaned and rolled their eyes. No one here cares right now, Kyle, Liam teased. What? I'm just trying to officially welcome her to the pack, Kyle defended. There's time for that later, Patrick said. Now, where are you hiding the beer? I laughed. Dude, we just bought the place last week. You're lucky we have food. Ah, so you've at least been to the messages. Tell me you have some crisps around this place. I'm starving. Crisps? Jenna asked. I'm not sure what you're talking about. What are the messages? My brothers and I laughed. Sometimes he sounds like he's speaking a foreign language. He's asking if we went to the store and bought some chips. Crisps. Not chips, Patrick clarified. Chips, dumbass, I told him. He'll argue chips are fries, not chips. Crisps are chips. It can be confusing at first, but you'll catch on and learn to ignore him after a while, I assured Jenna. She laughed. I led her over to the couch and we sat down. Liam and Maddie sat at the other end while Kyle and Patrick took the adjacent chairs. I wished Elise and Kelsey could have been there, and even Lily. I missed my family when I was away at school, but I got so tied up in my own life that I didn't always remember that until I was face to face with any of them. Jenna rose and headed for the kitchen. She fumbled around the cabinets and then came back grinning. From behind her back, she pulled out a bag of chips and tossed it over to Patrick. Grinning, she asked, "Crisps, right?" "Ah, lady after my own heart," Patrick said. Shay's a keeper, Chase. That's the plan, I assured him. We ended up ordering pizza as we talked, laughed, and caught up. Maddie and Jenna seemed to hit it off quickly. I was grateful for it and thanked